Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
I've got a question for you this morning. Four simple words. What do you see? Okay, what do you see? So what you see determines what you believe. There's two different ways you can see things. One is in the natural, with your own natural eyes. And the second one is with a different eye, which is the eye of the Spirit, which is God's eye, God's perspective. Now, I'm going to need three people to help me this morning. So, Isaac, I've already asked you, haven't I, mate? Let's welcome Isaac as he comes up to give me a hand. You can sit on one of these, mate. Two other people that would like to help me out this morning. Anybody? Come on in. Do you want to run up? What's your name?
Joshy.
Joshy. Cool. Do you want to sit in that one? Bit of health and safety. Hold the stool while the child gets on the stool. Okay. You can. Yeah. What's your name?
Audrey.
Audrey. Welcome. Would anybody like a cool, would you call that a hat? What would you call that?
Head wrap.
Anybody like a head wrap like Audrey's? That's well cool, isn't it? Nice one. Do you keep anything in there or is it just your hair? Just your hair, okay. Sorry, it's all right, we are friends, you know. Okay, all right, just wanted to check. Okay, there's nothing living or anything, nothing's going to creep out of there or anything like that.
There's nobody renting up there today.
No rent, okay, brilliant, nice one. Okay, great. Now, you guys are going to help me because we're going to look at three kind of stories in the Bible where people were faced with impossible situations in the natural, but yet God said something that changed the impossible into the possible. Now, 2018 is going to be a year to see what God has said happen. Anybody believe that in here? Or is it just me? Okay. Why is it really important that we hear what God says? Because so much of what goes on around us says something completely opposite to what God says. The reports on the news, the stories of what's going on in our nation, the struggles, the tensions, the different things happening out there, they often contradict what we believe God wants to do. And increasingly, all of that becomes louder, more noisy, is shouting at us that what we believe or what we know God wants to do in the natural seems to be more impossible than ever. Would anybody agree with that? In the natural. Now, God does not separate what he says from what he does. How many of you know that God sees first, then he speaks, and what he speaks then becomes seen? So God always has in mind, because he sees what he wants to do, he always has in mind what he wants to do before he says anything. So that then what he says brings the reality of what he has already seen take place. Now, he wants us to live like that in 2018. That's called a life of faith, isn't it? Yes. Calling things that are not as though they were. That's what Abraham was commended for, wasn't it, in terms of being righteous, because he believed what God said. In the middle of the circumstances, he couldn't have, him and his Sarah, they couldn't have children, but yet he believed God. So something that was impossible became possible. How many of you know that God loves to say things to us and lead us on a pathway of impossibility in our own strength, but yet he leads us in that kind of pathway so that we learn to trust him. We learn how to grow in relationship with him, to trust him so that he proves who he is, his nature, his character, so that we grow to trust him more, because he'll always lead you on a pathway of impossibility. How many of you love that statement? Lots of you going, oh, I wish it wasn't like that. But that's how God leads us in our lives. In our natural life, we would love it to be just easy. Why did God say that? Because, Because He wants us to trust him. He wants to prove to us who he is in our lives. So we're going to look at three situations this morning. You ready, guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully you know these stories. All right. The first one we're going to look at is Moses with the Israelites, and they're now out of Egypt and they are on the edge of the Red Sea, and they can't cross the Red Sea because it's too wide, too deep. And coming up behind them are the Egyptians. Do you know this story? Okay, cool. And the Egyptians, although they let them out of Egypt, after they'd been gone a little while, Pharaoh changed his mind and said, we're going to go and get them and we're going to go and finish them off. Okay. And so the Israelites knew that the Egyptians were chasing them down, but they had this huge sea in front of them that they couldn't cross. Now, would you say that's impossible or not to get over? Impossible. How are they going to get out of the situation? Have you got any idea? Okay, what happened?
God made a path through the sea.
Okay, and how did he do that?
When Moses lifted up his stick, it made it happen.
That is absolutely brilliant. Come on, let's give him a round of applause. Brilliant. We have a situation where they begin to panic. They look in the natural and they look at what's in front of them and they look at who's coming behind them. Even though God's already been doing some pretty miraculous things, leading them a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night, there's some supernatural things going on, but yet they're in a circumstance where it looks completely impossible and they begin to freak out. They begin to panic. And even Moses begins to cry out to the Lord. And the Lord says to him, Moses, why are you crying out to me? And he said, there's something you just need to do. Now, what was the one thing that he asked him to do? And we've just heard, lift your rod up, your stick up over the sea. I mean, how many of you know that's the most ridiculous thing you could be asked to do? I think often God asks people to do some pretty crazy things, right? But yet, in this impossible situation, he said to him, lift your rod over the water. Now, what did Moses do? Did he lift his rod or not? Yeah, he lifted his rod. What do we do when we're in impossible situations? What's the equivalent for us when we're in an impossible situation and we're saying, God, where are you? What are you doing? What does he say to us? He says, lift your rod over the situation. What does that mean for us? Lift your hands up in praise and begin to exalt me and lift me up over the impossibility, over the difficulty, over the sickness, over the lack, over the need, over whatever it is. Begin to rejoice and praise me over the situation. When you do that, that begins to allow me to work in you and also in the situation. So he lifted his rod up and God then began to move. So God saw how he was going to deliver them before they were even at the Red Sea. So God knows before we're even in the middle of a circumstance that challenges us, he knows already how he's going to get us through it. Notice he takes us through it and not gets us out of it. He didn't lift the Israelites out of that situation and put them on the other side of the sea. He said, no, we're going to go through it, right? Because that's how we discover who God is. We learn about his nature, his character, his faithfulness, but we also learn about ourselves and where we're at and what needs to happen in us in those moments. So God opened up the sea. Moses did what he was told, didn't he? What God said. And so the sea opened and the Bible says they walked across on dry ground. That's amazing. It wasn't even muddy. It was dry ground. When they got to the other side, what did he tell Moses to do when he got to the other side and the Egyptians were chasing them? What did he tell him to do?
Go to the top of a hill.
And? All the Israelites are going through the Red Sea. They were coming out the other side. The Egyptians were in chasing them, okay? And they began to realize the Egyptians are catching us up. So what did God tell Moses to do?
I can't remember.
You can't remember. What did he do when he was this side of the Red Sea? God told him to lift up his, right? What did he tell him to do at the other side?
Lift up his stick.
Lift up his stick. And what happened when he lifted his stick over the sea at the other side? What happened?
It just, the tunnel, like, collapsed.
Right, all the sea came in and covered all the Egyptians, and God won the victory, yeah? Brilliant. How many of you know that God does that in our lives? This is really simple, isn't it? Basically, what does God do? We freak out, because this is how it works, isn't it, basically? We freak out. God says, what are you doing? Don't worry. Just do this. And we go, okay. He begins to do something. And then we have to then respond in relation to what God does. So even though God was opening up the sea, they still had to walk through it. They still had to take some steps. When he got the other side and they were coming through to a place of victory, we're through the other side. What did God do? God overcame the enemy. So really, in our lives, God does a lot. We don't have to do that much to have victory, do we? What's our part? We freak out. We say, God, what's going on? He speaks, and we go, right, okay, we believe what he says, and we then act upon what he says, and then God does everything else. God overcomes the enemy. God gets the glory for everything that he does. Is that right? Okay, so that's one story. Another story. Gideon. How many of you heard of Gideon? No? Heard of Gideon in the Bible? Okay. So what do you think the most famous story about Gideon is? You can't remember?
Yeah.
What you meant to say was the 300 men, the fighting men, yeah?
Yeah.
Exactly. See? So what happened? He had 32,000 in his army, right? Is that a lot of people? Is there more than 32,000 people here this morning? Not quite. No, not yet. Okay. Not yet. 32,000 and the Midianites, okay? The Midianites were like the Israelites' enemy, okay? And God wanted the Israelites to defeat the Midianites. Are you still with me? Is that all right? Was that funny? I don't know. Obviously, I don't know, was it? Anyway, they had 32,000, but God said, you got too many people. So he said to him, ask all the ones that are afraid to leave. 22,000 people left, and they had 10,000 in their army left, okay? But you know how the Bible describes the Midianites, okay? When you go to a beach, can you count how many grains of sand there are on a beach? Well, you can in Brighton. There's none, okay? But apart from Brighton and where we live, if you go to a proper beach, okay, where there's sand, okay, you have to go to another country. But anyway, if you go to a beach, can you count how many grains of sand there are? Right, why? There's just...
Because there's too many.
There's just too many, right? Now, the Bible describes the Midianites and those that were going to fight with them. It says they spread out in the valley, and they said even their camels were so numerous, let alone how many soldiers there were, you couldn't even count them like sand on a seashore. That's how many there were, okay? And God said to Gideon, 32,000 is too many, then 10,000 is too many. And how many people did God reduce the army down to from 10,000? Can you remember?
300.
300. So imagine there's probably not quite that many here today, right? But there's roughly this amount of people in the room, okay? And we're going to take on an army that has more soldiers and camels and whatever in it than sand on a seashore. Now, do you think that is impossible that we would get a victory, or do you think it's possible that we could have them?
It might be possible.
It might be possible. In the natural, is it possible?
I don't know.
I don't know. Is it in the natural impossible?
Impossible.
Impossible. How many would impossible? Okay. Now, God loves impossible. I think God thrives on impossibility, doesn't he? I think God looks at it and goes, no, the odds aren't right yet. It's too equal. Let's just really outweigh this so that it's absolutely ridiculous. So there's 300 fighting men. Look at this lot. Do they look like fighting men, fighting people? They do, don't they? They look ready for action, yeah? Most of you. Anyway, you're looking good this morning. Some of you got that mince pie look about you this morning. Some of you got that custard hangover still from whatever has been going on the last week or so. How many of you have eaten more chocolates this week than you would shake a stick at? Do you know what I mean? How many of you have... Okay. So we have this situation, 300 of them, right? Against a ridiculous... Now, what does God tell Gideon to do? Anybody know? Any of you guys know? Do you want me to help you? Okay. So what did he tell him to do? He said, get some trumpets and some jars. Get some trumpets and some jars. And you're going to play some jazz music with a bit of rhythm. And you're going to overcome this multitude of army. I mean, God says, get some trumpets and some glass, or not glass, but, you know, pots or whatever, you know, jars you can smash and everything. And you're going to defeat all these guys. It's a ridiculous situation. And God tells him to do something in the natural that's ridiculous. Anyway, so Gideon splits his 300 into three groups of 100. He says, you go there, and I'll take this group over there. When you hear me shout, blow your trumpets and smash your jars. And we're going to have a great victory. Imagine the 299 blokes looking at him, you know, and he's like, blow your trumpet, okay, and smash your jar, and then just stand there. You can imagine his mates thinking, I wish I'd gone when everybody said, you know, those who fear go now. I wish I'd lapped the water in a different way. Then I could be at home with my wife right now instead of here with this ridiculous trumpet blowing, jar smashing idea that Gideon's got. How many of you have ever been in a scenario like that where God tells you to do something and you think, that's ridiculous? So what do? They move down there and Gideon shouted. And when he shouted, they blew their trumpets, they smashed their jars. And then what happened? It says that God confused all of the Midianites and they started fighting each other and they started killing each other. And then the 300 started to chase them as they were running away, and then they called on all the other Israelites that had been sent home. And when you read the story, it says the other Israelites came from all the different towns, and between all of them, they then chased these guys and defeated the Midianites. So something that was impossible suddenly became possible. Why? Because Gideon didn't believe what he saw in the natural. He believed what God told him. Instead of seeing a natural impossibility, he believed what God said, and now began to see the possibility because he was seeing with eyes of the spirit and not eyes of the natural. Okay? So, one last story. Are you ready? How many of you heard the story about Jesus being born? Okay? What was the name of his mum?
Mary.
Mary, okay. Now, who visited Mary before she knew about Jesus? Who visited Mary?
An angel.
Okay, an angel. What did he say to Mary?
Do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid. Why did he say that?
That's what angels first say whenever they talk.
Come on. That's right, because that's what the angel said to Gideon in the wine press, wasn't it? He called him a mighty warrior and he told him, just get on with it, don't be afraid and everything. Brilliant. So when the angel turned up and he began to speak to Mary, okay, what did he tell Mary was going to happen?
You are going to get a baby.
You're going to have a baby, okay? And what else did he say? Can you remember when he said, you're going to get a baby? What did she say? She said, How will this be? Because I'm a virgin. I'm not married to anybody, okay? And so how will this be, okay? And what did the angel say to her?
You will name him Jesus.
You'll name him Jesus, okay? So what else did the angel say? The angel said that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and he's going to overshadow you. Now, do you know what the word overshadow means? I actually wrote this out because I thought this was brilliant. I looked at what the word overshadow means. The word overshadow means to do something out of the ordinary course of nature. So Mary was going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit did something out of the natural course of nature. because she'd never been with a man, and yet the Holy Spirit put the seed for a child in her womb. So that's not the natural way that things happen. How many of you know that God doesn't often do things in natural ways? He always does things. He often does things in a way that are contrary to the natural, okay? So the angel turns up and says something pretty ridiculous. I mean, we know the story. We know the end of the story. So sometimes we skip over things because we think, yeah, well, of course the angel rocked up, said to Mary, you're going to have a baby. It's going to be the Son of God. You're going to call him Jesus, going to save the world. And we imagine Mary just go, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I know about Jesus. Yeah. But we know the end of the story. But imagine you're doing your washing one day. You're minding your own business and an angel turns up in your laundry or while you're cooking lunch. Or you're sitting down, haven't reading a book, and an angel rocks up and says, hey, just want to talk to you for a minute. And you're like, whoa, okay. You're going to give birth to the Son of God. I mean, that's not an everyday occurrence. It doesn't happen. I don't know if it happens in your world every day like that. But we often read the story and say, well, yeah, that's Mary. Of course that was going to be but yet she was a young girl, a young person who God turned up in her world and said something that was outrageous. And so she became pregnant. Now imagine the stigma in that culture. People started to find out, hang on, Mary's betrothed to Joseph. They're not actually married yet in that sense that they've been together, but yet she's pregnant. She's obviously done something. She must have committed adultery or she's been with a guy. She's done something in that culture. I mean, it was totally outrageous. Imagine the rejection that she could have had from so many people. But yet, who's the one that caused her to become pregnant? Sometimes God works and does things that blows all the fuses in our minds or does things in a way that's like, whoa, hang on a minute, that's out of the box. And we like everything to be nice and neat and tidy, right? But yeah, when God spoke to Mary, her answer wasn't, I don't believe you. It was like, how will this be? Not how can that be, but how will that be? She believed what God said, even though she said, I'm a virgin. So how will that be then? There must be a different way that's going to happen than the natural way. And then she said, brilliant, amazing response. Let it be to me as you have said. So she heard, she believed, and said, let it be as you have said. All three of these situations, impossible, go against the natural flow of things or what is possible in the natural, yet God spoke into the impossible to do something that was going to become possible. So 2018, there are some things that look impossible. Maybe you've got a friend or relative that you've been praying for and you're like, man, nothing seems to be happening. It looks impossible. Maybe there's something God's been speaking to you about that you need to do, the way he's been leading you. And you think, well, it seems impossible. And maybe you haven't taken steps towards what God has said yet, because you're still weighing up, well, I'm not sure, how's this going to happen? How's that going to work out? Maybe what we need to do is just come take a step back and just say, okay, Holy Spirit, I want to not only just hear what you're saying, I want to believe. I want to see what you're saying, because I want my actions and my words and my life to live in line with what you're saying and what you're seeing. Because that's the way I want to live in 2018. I want to live a life that is living out the seeing of what you're doing. How many want a year like that in 2018? So those three scenarios, all of them impossible, but yet God made them possible. Because God wanted to bring something into being. So there's a scripture right in Isaiah 46 verse 11. This is what God says. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. I think that's a brilliant scripture to speak over our lives for this coming year. Okay. Isaiah 46 verse 11. It's the second half of the verse. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. So the question for us going into this year is, what do you see? What you see will be in relation to what God has said, or what God is going to say to you over the next few days. And as we get into the 21 days of prayer and fasting, what God's going to say to us, what he's going to work in us and amongst us, that we begin to see him and see how we're moving forward in a different way than we might do at this moment. Because we're going to see with the eye of the Spirit, if we can put it that way, rather than just our natural eyes. Next Sunday, we have our Vision Sunday. So across all three congregations, we've videoed the whole thing, and and we're going to watch that next week. And I'm really excited about that Sunday, but then the 3 weeks that are going to follow as we pray into and pray through things that God is going to, we're going to hear next Sunday. And then it's going to go on the web, and all the other relating churches are going to be able to see it as well from next weekend. But I'm excited about 2018 and what God is going to be doing in me personally, in your life personally, but also in us and through us together as a church in this area, around the nation and beyond, in terms of all the partnering churches and relationships that we have with people. But it's going to be a year of seeing what God has said that's going to overcome what the enemy says, or what circumstance says, or what the past has said, or what, not the pastor, or what the past has said, or what experience has said or tells you. Well, yeah, that's great listening to that, but you haven't seen that before, and you've heard things like that before. Don't let experience rob you of what God wants to do in 2018. So let's stand together. Let's thank these guys for being up here and being our storytellers as well. Thanks, guys. Do you want to stay there? All right, stay there then. Cool. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Just close your eyes for a moment. And just ask the Holy Spirit, just say to him, I want eyes of the Spirit this year. I don't want to live with natural eyes. We live in a natural world. But even living in a natural world, God wants us to live according to the Spirit, according to what he says in our lives. Just say to him, I don't want to live with natural eyes this year. I want to live with the eyes of the Spirit. I don't want to live according to people's words and man's words and reports. I want to live according to your word this year. I don't want people's words and the news and the things of the day to define my thinking, my responses, and what goes on in me. Jesus, I want your word and what you are saying to define my actions, my faith, what I'm thinking, my decisions, how I live, and what 2018 is going to be like and how it's going to unfold. I want to live according to your word, by the power of your Spirit. Maybe just tell that to the Lord. Tell him, just speak to him now wherever you are. I want to live with the eyes of the Spirit. I want to see what you see, Jesus. And maybe just invite him over the next few weeks. Holy Spirit, would you be speaking to me? Maybe some of you already know what God is saying to you about this year. Maybe some of you haven't thought about it. Like, well, I don't know. I'm waiting for somebody at church to tell me what 2018 is going to be like. There's things that God wants to speak to you personally about and put on the inside of you. When you hear from God yourself personally about your life, it becomes part of you. And you begin to carry that wherever you go. And because his word takes root in your life and begins to grow up in you because you've heard something, when things come your way, the impossibilities or the negativities or the things that want to steal, kill and destroy or rob you, you have something stronger on the inside that can resist that. It's called a shield of faith. And you hold that up and you say, no, that's not what I've heard. I've heard something else. I have something different going on the inside of me. God has spoken. So it doesn't matter what somebody else has spoken or what the circumstance says. God has spoken. So I hold up that shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart, every lie, everything else that would want to rob me. And I hold that up because I've heard something on the inside that is stronger than what is on the outside. So you use your shield of faith for that. And that's when you get your sword of the Spirit out. And then you say, no, this is what God has said. And then that sword of the Spirit, His word that is living and active, sharpened into it, it's alive in your life. You begin to speak that and declare that. And that overcomes then the lies. It replaces that lot. And it begins to break through. It opens up the Red Sea. It confuses the enemy and confounds him. He turns against himself. So, Father, I thank you that this coming month is going to be a month of victory, a month of breakthrough. So there is breaking out of you in a fresh way, personally, corporately, amongst who we are, in our families, our households, our workplace. Everywhere we go, things are going to break out in a new and fresh way because of how you're going to be breaking out in us in these next few weeks in a fresh way. How many of you want that happening in your life? What does faith do? Faith takes hold of what God says. Faith is not passive that says, well, I'll wait and see what happens. If you have that approach, you'll still be waiting at the end of January for something to be happening. So let's pick up our faith. Let's pick up what we know. Pick up what God is saying. And Father, I'm going to engage my heart, my mind, my body, my whole being in these next few weeks. I want to engage with you, with the body. I want you to do something new and fresh in me. How many of you want God to do something new and fresh in it? It's a new year. Let's go for something new and fresh in our lives. God's going to build on what He's already been doing, but He wants to accelerate. He wants to increase. He wants to broaden out and spread things out in a fresh way. So just invite Him now. Holy Spirit, do something new and fresh in me in these next few weeks. I want to take the shackles off, throw the restrictions off, no walls, no lids, no whatever, no restrictions. I want to throw myself in, jump fully into you and what you want to do in this coming year. I'm not going to wait for something to happen. I'm going to press into you, Father, in a new and fresh way. And I thank you for that fresh work of your Holy Spirit, that fresh release of your life, your life, your life. It's God's life in us. He's going to release in a fresh way in these coming weeks. Come on, let's give Him a shout of praise, shall we? Let's thank Him in advance for everything He's going to be doing in these next few weeks. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise you. We exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt you. So right now, all the impossibilities, just bring them to Him now. It could be a sickness. It could be a need. It could be something, I don't know, an impossibility, something that looks like it's not going to change, something you're afraid of, something that's troubling you, something that seems to be weighing you down or seems to be overcoming you. Just bring all that to the Lord and say, Father, I give all of that to you right now. I thank you that none of that is going to hold me back. None of that is going to stop me going forward. None of that is going to restrict what you do. So I hand it all over to you right now. I give it to you. Every worry, every fear, every circumstance, every need, every sickness, every trouble, every angst, every opposition, every negativity, everything right now, I hand it over to you. And I thank you that this coming month is going to set the tone for the rest of the year. And what you do in me, what you do in us as a body of people. Father, we thank you. We praise your awesome name. Just as we worship the Lord, just to close this morning, we're just going to give in the offering. If you've got your tithes and your offerings ready, it's our opportunity just to give this morning. But we're just going to worship Him, give Him adoration for the next few minutes. Just completely fix our eyes, our hearts, our minds, our bodies on Him. Maybe as we worship, I want to encourage you, obviously just lift your hands, just engage with the Lord, rather than don't necessarily just stand there this morning, but like Moses did, he lifted his rod over whatever the circumstance was, and as he began to lift his arms and he exalted God over the situation, God began to work, God began to move, the impossible became possible. What didn't seem could happen actually began to happen. So let's raise our hands this morning as we give to the Lord, both financially but also as we just give ourselves to Him this morning. Let's worship Him, let's honor Him, let's glorify Him, let's lift Him over this year, let's exalt Him over 2018, over everything that we don't even know is going to take place, that He knows is going to be taking place this year. Let's lift our hands, let's lift Him up, let's exalt His name and His word over this year. We praise Your name. We thank You, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.